So this morning we're going to be talking about a peacemaker. Like, what is a peacemaker? So think about that for a few minutes. But I'll go ahead and spill the beans. A peacemaker is somebody who makes peace. Just that simple, you know. And that's what we like. We like to keep it simple. So what does peace mean? It means calm. You know, getting along, not fighting. Helping others not to worry. You know, like when your mom says, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to get to work, but I got to clear the table. And Luis, you could say, you know, don't worry about it, Mom. I'll clear the table. That would give your mom so much peace. And, you know, kids, they have it really good. You know, one way you can be a peacemaker is just by obeying your parents. And Scripture tells us that if we obey our parents, we'll be blessed. And so that's really what we're talking about, being blessed. And one way to be blessed is to be a peacemaker. That's what Jesus tells us. So we're going to look at the passage this morning, but before we begin, I'm going to ask all of you, are you a peacemaker? Are you a peacemaker? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, it's not easy to be a peacemaker. We're surrounded by people who want their own way and who often criticize or complain and stir up conflict with others. We are often hindered by our own pride and selfish desires. What do you do with somebody who gets in your face? You know, conflict just happens in this world. And it happens in our family. It happens even in our church, our community, and our nation. You know, I heard this story about these three big, burly motorcycle riders, and they pulled into this cafe along the highway, and they went strutting into the cafe, and there was this little man sitting at the counter, and he was a truck driver, and he was eating his lunch, and one of the three motorcycle guys went right up to him, pulled his lunch away from him, and just laughed in his face. And the man didn't react. He got up, paid for his meal, and walked out of the cafe. And so one of the big guys turned to the waitress and said, well, he's not much of a man, is he? And the waitress says, yeah, I guess not. And then she looked out the window and she said, he's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles. So, yeah, it's not easy to be a peacemaker. It takes the grace of God. It takes love, courage, wisdom, and patience. We need help from God to be a peacemaker. All the more reason for us to draw near to Christ and to walk with Him. Jesus was a righteous peacemaker, one who spoke with both love and authority, one who confronted evil and yet offered help to all who came to Him. Peacemaking is a complex endeavor, yet God gives us some clear guidelines, and this morning we're going to look at some of those guidelines. So I'd just like to do a little review. As most of you know, we're doing a study of the book of Matthew. We started chapter 1, verse 1, and we've made it to chapter 5. We've been going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we're studying the teachings of Jesus as is found in what we call the Beatitudes, one of the many famous teachings of the Lord Jesus. Beatitudes is the Latin word for blessing. So let's take a look at the Beatitudes as found in Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We'll start with verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and you'll find this on page 866 in the Rack Bible in front of you. Page 866 in the Rack Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, page 866. So just follow along as I read it. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and after He sat down, His disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, if you've just joined us for the study on the Beatitudes, these words of Jesus might seem a little confusing and a little hard to understand. Poor in spirit? That doesn't sound like a blessing. That sounds like a problem. Like, I want to be mighty in spirit. But blessed are those who see that they need God. You're never going to be mighty in spirit until you recognize that you're poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And you may be thinking, wait a minute, I don't want to mourn, and I don't want to be comforted. I don't want to want either one. I want to just be happy all the time. Right? That's what we Americans think. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Like, how in the world is that going to happen? The gentle don't have enough strength or confidence to inherit anything. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. How can I eat righteousness? Blessed are the merciful. It seems the merciful always get taken advantage of. Blessed are the pure in heart. How can you live with a pure heart in this crazy, chaotic, sin-filled world? Blessed are the peacemakers. It seems that the peacemakers just get run over. Blessed are those who have been persecuted. I definitely don't want to be persecuted. So let's talk about these Beatitudes. And here's a quick review. Now, you have an outline for this passage and in the back of your bulletin. And right now we're looking at the review. And I think it would help us to review each of the Beatitudes. We've spent, you know, a Sunday talking about each one. And we've made it to the peacemakers. But let's take a quick review and talk about each one. The first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying that we can be mighty in spirit, but we have to first recognize that we need God. In other words, blessed are those who see their need for God, or blessed are those who fully rely on God, for they will be received into the kingdom of heaven. If you're poor in something, that means you don't have as much as you want. If you're poor in money, then you recognize that you don't have much and you desire to have more money. If you're poor in spirit, then you recognize that you don't have much of the Spirit of God and that you want more of the Spirit of God. This first beatitude is really important. If you don't see your need for God, you'll never come to God. If you don't see your need for God, you'll never talk to God or listen to God or read His Word or obey Him. And if you never see your need for God, you'll never know God. God wants us to know Him. And then the second beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In other words, blessed are those who are sad over the evil in the world and the sin in their own lives. They will be comforted as they repent and experience God's love and forgiveness. The third beatitude, blessed are the humble or the gentle or the meek. I prefer to go with humble. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. In other words, blessed are those who humble themselves before God because God will lift them up and let Him rule the world with Him when He returns. Jesus will soon return and He will gather the humble to Himself. In other words, God's not going to give this world to the proud and arrogant. That's who has it now and they're making a big mess of it. God is going to give His world to those who humble themselves before Almighty God and put their complete trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. In other words, blessed are those who desire God above all else. Blessed are those who desire God more than money, entertainment, more than comfort, more than fame, more than power, more than food, more than material things. Blessed are those who desire God over everything. They'll be satisfied. And then the fifth beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In other words, blessed are those who are forgiving and kind to others. If you're kind and forgiving to others, God will be kind and forgiving to you. The sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, blessed are those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and live holy lives. They will see the Lord Jesus when He returns. They will see Jesus when they go to heaven. And now this morning we come to the seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. This was a hard one. In fact, I think this is the hardest one. First of all, I want to point out that God is a God of peace. In the beginning, God created a peaceful world. That's His intent. That was His plan. There was no conflict in the Garden of Eden. There was no arguing, no anger, no hate, no fighting, no wars, no death in the world that God originally created. The Bible begins with peace in the Garden of Eden, and then the Bible ends with peace in eternity. There was no conflict in the world until Adam and Eve disobeyed God. There was no conflict until Adam and Eve thought that they knew better than God. There was no conflict until Adam and Eve put themselves first and God second. And it continues today. Although most people today put God last, not second. The popular philosophy of the world, encouraged by the teaching of many psychologists and counselors, is to put self first. Do whatever you want. You're autonomous. But when self is first, peace is last. Let me say that again. When self is first, peace is last. Self precipitates strife, vision, hatred, resentment, and war. Self is the partner of sin and the great enemy of God and the great enemy of peace. It was the sin of man that took away the peace of God's creation. Sin separates men from God and causes disharmony and enmity with Him. Man's lack of harmony with God causes a lack of harmony with each other. The world is filled with conflict and war because it is filled with sin. Peace cannot reign where wickedness reigns. Wicked hearts cannot produce a peaceful society. It'll never happen. The humanist idea that man is getting better is a big lie. Man is not getting better. Wicked hearts cannot produce a peaceful society. Isaiah 48, verse 22 says, "There is no peace for the wicked." So until somebody takes care of the sin problem, there will be no peace. Okay? That somebody is God. God took care of the sin problem. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to take care of our sin problem. Jesus came to take away our sins. If we will accept the blood of Christ as a payment for our sin, then we'll experience the forgiveness of God and come into a right relationship with God, which will result in peace. It puts us on track to become peacemakers. And so it's not until we become reconciled with God that we can bring reconciliation with other, or have reconciliation with other people. So what is a peacemaker? Well, someone who brings reconciliation. And that is the ministry that God has given each of us to do. Bring reconciliation. First with God and then with others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 says this, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Wow. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, you know what the word reconciliation means, right? The definition is to the restoration of friendly relationships. In the beginning, Adam and Eve had a friendly relationship with God. But because Adam disobeyed God, that friendship was broken. Jesus came to restore the broken friendship between God and man. Now we have friendship with God through Christ, and we are to work to help others have this same friendship with God. And if I'm a friend of God, and you're a friend of God, then we have a commonality that unites us in values and purpose. We should not be in conflict with other Christians, but it happens. There are times when we have conflicts with Christians, and I'm sad to say that most of my conflicts in life have been with Christians. Regardless of the situation, a peacemaker is someone who seeks to bring reconciliation and harmony between two people who are in disagreement. There are people who seem to thrive on division, conflict, and unrest. To some people, peacemaking is all about winning. You know, I heard this joke about this little kid who's 10 years old and he's in his house. And the doorbell rings, so he goes to the door. He opens the door and there's a strange man there standing on the porch. And the man says, "You don't recognize me, but I'm your uncle on your father's side." And the little boy said, "Well, it's nice to meet you, but you're on the wrong side. You're on the losing side." He had turmoil in his family, and he viewed it as two sides against one another, one side trying to win. Conflicts are common, and that's why peacemakers are needed. As a follower of Christ, we have no biblical reason to view anyone as an enemy, whether they are a believer or not. We only have one enemy, and that enemy is Satan. So a peacemaker has a biblical concept of conflict. He recognizes that every person has worth. Every person is important to God. We should do everything in the power that God supplies to make that person a friend without compromising our relationship with God. A peacemaker knows the Bible. He knows what is right and wrong. He knows what pleases God. He knows what the Bible says about every issue. And if he doesn't, he'll find out what the Bible says on that issue. You know, there's not an issue in the world that the Bible does not speak on, either directly or indirectly. That's why it's important at times to bring in a pastor or a Christian counselor to help mediate and to help bring reconciliation. I'd like to mention what peacemaking is not. Peacemaking is not the same as working out a truce. A truce implies that the conflict is not resolved. During the Vietnam War, both sides agreed to a suspension of fighting on Christmas Day. For that one day, there was no shooting, even though there was no real peace and the hostility still existed. Sometimes a truce can be helpful, but only if the truce is used to resolve differences. If a truce is just used to provide time to rearm, things can become worse. Peacemaking is not the same as ignoring the issues. We cannot refuse to face a problem and expect it to go away. So how can I be a peacemaker? You know, it was G. Campbell Morgan, that great British preacher, who said this. He said, "Do you want to be a peacemaker? You must know and live the other Beatitudes. And then you'll bring peace wherever you go." That's a paraphrase of what he said. So first of all, have peace with God. Christians are the best prepared and equipped to bring peace because they have peace with God. The good news of the gospel is that separation between God and human beings has been bridged by what Christ did at Calvary and our simple faith in his finished work on the cross. It takes two to make peace. God did his part, and we must do our part by repenting of our sin and humbly coming to him for forgiveness and direction in our lives. And then, When we come to Christ, we have peace with God. God alone is our source of peace. The enemy of peace is sin. People who do not have peace with God do not have peace at all. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Isaiah said in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Just as Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, so He calms the inner turmoil in our hearts and lives. And so, we need to recognize that God is a God of peace. We need to have peace with God. We need to have the peace of God. And then, thirdly, we need to live in peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15 says, "God has called us to live in peace." One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is peace. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "For the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." We can have peace by just being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the presence of God in our life and the peace of God in our life. And His peace will flow to those around us. It is a supernatural peace. It is a peace that stays with us when we're surrounded by chaos and turmoil. God tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Frances Ridley Havergal lived in the mid-19th century. Her relatively short life was filled with difficult challenges. When she was 11, her mother died. Shortly after her mother died, her father remarried, and the stepmother caused much deep hurt. Frances was chronically ill and got no help or comfort from her stepmother. During one of her painful periods of illness, she wrote this: "Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bring increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest." And of course you know that those words were turned into a great hymn. This kind of peace is a gift from God. It is a peace imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And then He says this: "They shall be called sons of God." Now, what is a son of God? Well, first of all, it's someone who is born of God. Jesus, the disciple of John, the disciple of Jesus, made these three statements. He said, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Then He said, "No one who is born of God practices sin." And then He said this in John chapter 1, "But to as many as received Him," Jesus, "to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That's John 1, 12 and 13. Now, John didn't make up those statements. He got it straight from Jesus. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said, 'You must be born again.'" Jesus said it. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. So, A son of God is someone who is born of God. Secondly, a son of God is someone who represents God. It is important to note that the word used here is the Greek word huios, our word for son, and not the Greek word technon, our word for child. In Jewish culture, it was the son that represented the father. It was the son who would go in place of the father to accomplish his purpose or complete a business deal or transaction. So here Jesus is saying that every person in Christ, male or female, goes as a representative of Almighty God. And then I like to mention the privilege of being a son of God. That's why he uses this word here. Again, in the Jewish culture, it was the son who inherited the riches that belonged to the father. So when Jesus says the peacemakers will be called sons of God, he's saying that these peacemakers, those who belong to Christ, both male and female, will have the privilege of inheriting the riches of God's kingdom. His wisdom, his love, his joy, his peace, his power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says this. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Think about that for a few minutes. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. We don't have to live weak, puny lives. We can live powerful lives. Powerful in love. Powerful in wisdom. Powerful in patience. Powerful in kindness. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to those who belong to Christ. So I'd like to make a few points of application even now. We're going to talk about a few things. First of all, be a peacemaker. First of all, make sure that you belong to Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not sure if you belong to Christ, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven when you die, then I would invite you to come speak with me after we close our time together in prayer. A person who doesn't belong to Christ is nervous, unsure, worried about what will happen after he dies. The person who belongs to Christ has that peace and assurance that eternity is waiting for him, that the Lord Jesus is waiting for him, the Lord Jesus is looking forward to welcoming him into eternity. First of all, make sure you have peace with God. And then secondly, look around you. Is there anyone who you're not at peace with? If there's someone you're not at peace with, go to that person. Make peace with that person. And then secondly, be a follower of Christ. You know, it's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that says, a son has been born to us, a child has been given to us, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who's that verse talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Mighty God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And as we follow him, we'll become peacemakers. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Lord, that now we can have peace. We thank you that now we can have our sins forgiven. We thank you now, Lord, that you are our friend, our brother. But we should never forget that you, our friend, our brother, you are the King of heaven and earth. And that as your friend and as your brother, Lord, we should represent you well and look to further your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that you would use us to represent you, to be your ambassador, and to be peacemakers. And we know this will only happen as we keep our eyes on you and follow you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to do exactly that, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to follow you wherever you lead us. And we pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.